This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome to our show again. This is episode 62 of Me and My 88 Friends. My name is Lawrence Tuning. My very special guests today are simply my 88 friends. I had a man tell me a week or two ago that he told his wife, surely Lawrence has more than 88 friends, and his wife had informed him that on this show, the 88 friends are the keys to the piano. So it's just me and my 88 friends today, with a few other little instruments thrown in there. Of course, Buddy Miles is always sitting here hoping to find an avenue so he can butt in and make his presence known. But we humor him that way. So I want to play the entire song, Me and My 88 Friends, for you, because the theme today is the stories behind the songs. And this song was written back in around 1980 or 81, and it reflects a prayer that I asked the Lord and a decision that I made back when I was about 20 years old. Let's hear the whole song now, Me and My 88 Friends.
In my sight, some are quiet, some are loud, some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88, me and my 88 friends. We've been friends for a long, long time, ever since I was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white, they are precious in my sight. Some are high, some are low, re mi fa sol la ti do. Yeah, me and my 88. Me and my 88. To give the glory to the King of Kings, he's the one who gave the harmony. Oh, come, let us adore him. Me and my 88, me and my 88, I love my 88, me and my 88 friends.
When I was talking to the Lord back when I was 20 years old in my car, I told the Lord that if he would give me the gift of writing songs, they would all be about him in some way. I did not have the ability to write songs before I said that prayer. Within about a week, I started writing songs. So in the song that you just heard, the key line there is this line. We agreed early on we would sing and play the songs to give the glory to the King of Kings. He's the one who gave the harmony. Oh, come, let us adore him, me and my 88 friends. I want to apologize for my remarks a few minutes ago to Buddy Miles that he always tries to butt in. It's true, but I shouldn't have said it. So, Buddy, please accept my sincere apologies.
No, just kidding. That's what makes the show so much fun.
I'm going to sing to you some songs that you've never heard before and some that you have. The theme of the show today is simply the stories behind the songs. The first two songs I want to sing today were inspired by my great friend Wayne Simsrott, who lives in Bloomington, Indiana. He indirectly inspired both of these songs. Back in 1972, I was with a band called The Fishermen, and we were living in Vermont. We were based out of Anderson, Indiana, but we were spending time in Vermont. And Wayne, who was the brother of the bass player and the drummer, called us. He was running a Christian bookstore in Anderson and fell in love with his employee. And they called. They were going to get married. I believe it was Labor Day weekend, 1972, on a Saturday. And they asked if we could sing at their wedding. The only problem was that we were booked to do six weekly concerts at the Burlington, Vermont City Hall. And there was momentum building on those concerts. And it's 1,000 miles from Anderson, Indiana to Burlington, Vermont. And our last concert was the Sunday after the wedding. And so we tried to see if they would change the date, but that date was firmly fixed in their minds. So when you're young, you do a lot of crazy things you wouldn't do at my age now. We drove to Indiana, did the wedding. While the wedding cake was still moist in our mouth, we were jumping in the van, and we drove through the night and through the morning to get to Burlington to do an afternoon concert. I don't think we sounded that great. We could hardly stay awake, but we did it. But back to the wedding, I kept thinking, I need to write a wedding song for Wayne and Diane. And I started thinking about weddings, started thinking about the Bible, started thinking about the great wedding feast of the Lamb that the Bible talks about. And so I didn't come up with the traditional Baby, I Love You wedding song, but this is what I came up with. It's called The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Where you gonna be when we sit down at the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Where you gonna be when the new wine flows so freely at the end of the age and the beginning of a new one? And we sit and converse with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see the bridegroom face to face. Where, oh, where will you be? I'll be glad to see my old friends and my loved ones after so many years of being apart. What a jubilee when we all get together at the end of the age and the beginning of a new one. Oh, and we sit and converse with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that's gonna be for me. But where, oh where will you be? No one can ever say they don't have an invitation to the greatest wedding feast of all. I can almost hear the band begin to play, and the shouts of rejoicing ringing from the banquet hall. Rejoicing, that's gonna be. Where, oh, where will you be? I hope I sit beside the woman who sat at the well, or the thief on the cross, but I really don't care as long as I'm there. Down the line, I see Zacchaeus, he's talking to Lazarus. At the end of the table, Elijah is laughing with Paul. Oh, and we sit and converse with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see Jesus face to face. Where, oh, where will you be? Where, oh, where will you be? Where, oh, where will you be? Wayne Simstrott inspired this next song, which has become one of my most popular songs. It's got probably the longest shelf life of them all. It's called "There Goes a Real Christian Man." Wayne happened to see a person at a service station in Indianapolis who was disheveled and rumpled clothes and obviously needing a shower. And he began to talk to the guy, and it turned out it was a guy named Jim from Belfast, Northern Ireland, who had come to America to tour the country on his motorcycle, and somebody stole his motorcycle and all his belongings. Wayne brought this guy home to Anderson, Indiana, and he spent about 10 days with us and really became a part of our lives, and we became a part of his life. And he later took a bus up to Toronto, Canada, to some relatives, and flew back to Belfast. Haven't seen that man in 50 years, but I've always thought of him, and I've always hoped that Wayne's kindness and our kindness possibly made a difference in his life. Well, that indirectly inspired the writing of this song. And this is with my band that we recorded a few weeks ago. "There Goes a Real Christian Man."
I was wandering around the country trying to find myself again. Stranded in Nebraska, needing some money, needing a friend. I was feeling sad and lonely as I stood beside the road, when a bald-headed man in a pickup truck picked me up and took me home. There goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man. Well, I spotted a little New Testament laying on the dash by the radio, and I hadn't made in 5 or 6 days. I was hungry, tired, and cold, and I thought this man was kind of different, to pick a tramp right off the street. Then he said, "My name is Billy, I'm gonna fix you something to eat when we get home." There goes a real Christian man. I said, "There goes a real Christian man." Told me changed his life. As we walked into the kitchen, he introduced me to his wife. Said, as long as you're in these parts, you'll always have a bed. Oh, I knew I'd met a Christian by the things he did and said. Oh, there goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man. He's got a Bible in his hand. He's got love and he understands. There goes a real Christian man. Town about a week or so, and then I got back on the road, and I never got saved 2 years later in a park in Buffalo. Well, I've seen a lot of phonies, a lot of hypocrites telling lies, but I know I've seen one Christian, Billy, I'll love until I die. Oh, there goes a real Christian man. He's got love and he understands. There goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man.
I began full-time ministry back in 1970 with a group called The Fishermen. I also did preaching by myself at times at churches, more traditional environments, and I was asked to speak in a southern town, which I won't identify right now, but the pastor had heard me share about revival and asked me to come back and just preach a day or two, and we would take it on a day-by-day basis and extend it however long we felt we should. Well, an amazing thing happened. The second service that we had, which was on a Sunday night, there was a girl who was about 19 or 20 years old who came to visit, and she really liked what she heard. And she went home and talked to her brother, who was in high school. And she basically dared him to come hear me. She basically taunted him and said, "You're a chicken because you're afraid to go hear about Jesus." And because of that, he said, "I'm not afraid." So he and his girlfriend and one of his best friends and that guy's girlfriend, they came to the third service, which was on a Monday night. Well, they came to Jesus at the end of the service, came to the altar, and were saved. And they were some of the most popular kids in that high school. They went back to their school the next day, and the word spread like a prairie fire, and pretty soon, scads of kids were coming to the services, and there were just many, many people making decisions for Christ. These kids told their parents. The parents came out. And it ended up being a 21-day meeting. And someone counted it out. I think there were like 500 people, around 500 people who made decisions for Christ. I was eventually asked to come and speak at the school in a certain class. And I think I spoke pretty much all day. And it was an amazing time of revival. Well, the meetings ended, and by that time, I was spending a lot of time with these four students, and I got with them one night when the meetings had ended, and I said, "I'm getting ready to go back to Indiana, but I need to talk to you." And I told them about the parable of the sower, where one of the seeds fell on a shallow ground with no root. They came up very quickly, and it looked like they were going to really be great plants, but as soon as there was some persecution, they quickly died. And I looked at the four of them and I said, "I need to warn you that in a few days from now, the bandwagon is going to stop and you're going to see many people who are going to discredit what happened to them and are going to walk away from it because pleasing the crowd is more important than pleasing God. And I said, you need to brace yourself and you need to determine that you're not going to be one of those people. And I remember one of them in particular, one of the guys said, who was the best friend of this girl's brother, he said, that will never happen to me. I love Jesus. I will never forsake him or turn from him. Well, I went back home and within 2 weeks got a letter from another friend there, and she said, it's awful. She named this one guy, said, he has walked away from his decision. He's really kind of discrediting everything that happened. He wants nothing to do with it. And of course, that broke my heart because I'd gotten close to this guy. Well, fast forward to about a year later, I came back to that town to visit. And there was one evening, I think it was around dusk, the sun was going down, it was starting to get dark. Some people rolled a piano out on a porch at a house and invited their friends. We had a lot of kids show up and sit on the grass, and I sat at the piano on the porch and sang and talked about Jesus. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this one guy at the very end of the line, kind of set back away from the crowd. He was standing, and it was the one who said he would never walk away. And as I was getting ready to have the prayer of recommitment to the Lord, I looked and I saw him turning and walking away. He didn't stay to say hello to me or whatever. He walked away into the shadows. And I never could get that experience out of my mind. So later, this song came to me and we put it on our first album. It's called Why Did You Wander Away? Why did you wander away? You chose the night instead of the day. Why did you run away and hide? You could have known the truth. Could have set your mind free, but you walked away. You could not stay. Don't tell me anymore that you're seeking for the answers to the questions in your mind. When you left behind the only one who could answer, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Whatever happened that day, whatever made you back away, you were so close to finding the light. You used to know the truth, and it sets your mind free. But you had to flee, you would not see. Don't tell me anymore that you'd really like to change and get it straightened in your mind. When you left behind the only one who could answer, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. Where are you going, my friend? Oh, please don't still be running in your mind. And Jesus will be there. Don't you know he can? You can never say again that you've never heard him speak. When he's shouting loud and clear, you close your ears to the only one who is screaming, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When I put that last little part with the one note, I could just visualize someone walking away into the darkness, slow footsteps. Many of you know the story behind this song, but it's one of my favorite songs that the Lord has ever given me to write. I never get tired of it. I was part of a great revival in Anderson, Indiana in 1970. And like I said before, I had this group called The Fishermen. We knew a kid when he was a senior in high school who had really had an experience with Jesus, given his life to Jesus, and he had actually gone out and shared at different churches with us. He later got in trouble with drugs and with the law and was arrested and jumped his bail, didn't show up for court, and he disappeared. Nobody knew where he was for months. And I was in a church in Anderson, Indiana, a great friend of ours, John K. Summers, who was a mentor to so many of us. I was at his church on a Wednesday night, and this guy's mother stood up and asked for prayer. She said, I had a dream this week that John came home, and I wondered if you would all pray with me that God will make this dream come true. So everybody said a prayer. About a day or two later, the fishermen went to this church to rehearse because the pastor allowed us to use the sanctuary to rehearse anytime we wanted to. And so we were singing songs and rehearsing, and we looked up in the balcony of the church and we saw this person sitting there. And the more we looked, we realized it was this guy that had been missing for months. I looked at my bandmates and we sang every song about God's forgiveness, every song about coming home to Christ, everything we could think of to sort of throw out the net to catch this fish. And after a few songs, John came down the stairs to the balcony and he sat midway through in the empty sanctuary. After a while, he got out of his seat and came to the altar, began to weep, began to cry and ask God to take him back. It was a glorious, glorious day. And he later told us that when he was out sleeping under a bridge or wherever he was, that he would feel the presence of the Lord, but he would push it away. And God never gave up on him. People who loved him never quit praying. And so this inspired this song. I've recorded it twice. But this is the revamped version that I put on my album called The Road Back Home. It's called I Will Arise and Go.
I've been on the road for quite some time, seeking something I just can't find. And in every town
where I've lately been. I get the feeling I should go back home again. You're listening to episode 62 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. We're highlighting the stories behind various songs that I've written over the years. This one was inspired on a trip that I took to Peru, South America in 1968. We talked about that trip on an earlier episode where we had the case of mistaken identity. I was a teen idol at one school in South America. They thought I was a famous recording star. How wrong they were, but it's been all downhill since then as far as the fame department. But on my way back to Lima, Peru, I was on a train. We stopped for a layover, and I got off the train just to walk around, and there was an elderly gentleman that came over to me and began talking in Spanish. I knew very little Spanish, but after a while I could put two and two together, and I realized that he was sharing Jesus with me. He was wanting to witness to me about Jesus. And in my broken Spanish, I tried to communicate to him that we are brothers. We both love this same Lord. So I wrote this song. It's called Good Night, My Friend. Good night, my the fullness of time. This is not some sad farewell. This is not the end. I will see you again on the other side. In the summer of 68, the whole world was exploding. I was staying below the equator for a month or two. It was August and I was on a train headed for Lima to get on the plane on my way back home to the USA from the land of Peru. Train had stopped for a half an hour. I stepped out for a breath of fresh air. Then I saw him, this elderly man. He was smiling at me. And my heart felt strangely warm. There was something about him that drew me. I felt a connection I couldn't explain. But soon I knew. He walked over and stretched out his hand and began to speak. And I was struggling just to understand what his message might be. Then I heard a familiar word, and all at once I knew. The word was Jesus. He was speaking of Jesus in the land of Peru. What a thrill to realize this man was my brother. Then I told him I love Jesus Christ just the same as you. Oh, it was rich, it was sweet, but the clock was ticking away. My heart was torn, I wanted to stay. But then I heard him say, he said, good night, my friend. It's time to be leaving, but we will meet once again. In the fullness of time. No, this is not some sad farewell. This is not the end. I will see you. We said goodbye and we embraced. Then I boarded that train. And I knew I'd never see his face on this earth again. The years have come and the years have gone. And I'm starting to long for my heavenly home. One sweet day I'll see that man I met so long ago. We will meet once again on the other side. All right, I want to ask my trusty engineer and co-producer something. Buddy, have you ever been, as they say, scared silly, like terrified out of your mind?
I can think of two instances in my life where I was pretty terrified, yeah.
But you told me before, it's not something you can say over the air, is that right?
Probably better we don't put it on the show.
Well, the most terrified I've ever been happened when I was in college at Anderson University. I had a friend who later became my roommate. And as the old proverb goes, with friends like these, who needs enemies? He got somebody to come down to my room and get me out of the room. The guy said, I think I borrowed some records from you a while back, and could you come down to my room and go through them, because I'm trying to give everybody borrowed things back. I thought to myself, I never lent this guy any records, but I fell for it. I went down. Well, while I was gone, this friend of mine sneaked into my room, got under my bed, and it was time to go to sleep. I had a room by myself, so I got in the bed, and of all things, I put an Elvis Presley record on. And this guy was a big, burly football player, you know, hairy arms and all this kind of thing. And so I'm under the covers. I'm about asleep. He waited 10 or 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, this arm reached out from under my bed and grabbed me around the throat. I almost had a heart attack. I've never been so scared in my life. But then I heard this guy laughing. That really made me mad. But that experience traumatized me. It was a joke. But after that, I was afraid of my shadow. I got so bad that I had to sleep with a light on. I was always afraid that something was going to happen. And it took a real act of God's power delivering me from the spirit of fear, because that guy traumatized me. He called me up a few years ago, and we laughed about it. But I wasn't very happy with the fruit of that thing. So I later wrote this little children's song. Now, this is not a classic, I'll tell you that right now. The tune is not really memorable. But I wrote this song for children, but it was really based on my experience with my wonderful friend who scared the life out of me when he grabbed me by the throat in a dark room. So this is called I'm Not Afraid Anymore. Afraid anymore since Jesus came through the door of my heart. He will protect me, he knows what's in store, so I'm not afraid I'm not afraid anymore. I used to be scared of the dark. When the lights would go out, I had fear in my heart. Then I read Jesus said he's the light of the world. He's living inside me, so the fear of the darkness just had to depart. Oh, I'm not afraid anymore since Jesus came through the door of my heart. He will protect me, he knows what's in store, so I'm not afraid I'm not afraid anymore. Oh, the devil used to scare me so bad. When I thought of the power of the evil he had, then I learned that the devil is afraid of my God. Jesus is greater, so fear, I'll see you later. I'm not afraid anymore. Oh, all together now. I'm not afraid anymore since Jesus came to the door of my heart. He will protect me, he knows what's in store. I'm not afraid I'm not afraid I'm not afraid I'm not afraid anymore. That's right. I'm enjoying myself today going down memory lane. Some of these songs I haven't sung in many years. The next song I want to sing, I really have not sung in 50 years. In the fall of 1970, my group, The Fishermen, was doing a series of services in a town in the western corner of Virginia. We were at the Presbyterian Church for a couple of days, the Methodist Church for a couple of days, the Church of God for a couple of days. And in the course of that week, we're invited to do an assembly program at the local high school. We were told in advance we could not preach. We could only sing our songs, and they didn't mind us singing gospel songs, but we could not preach a sermon. So I wanted to get the message out. You know, if you're an evangelist, you want to invite people to make a decision So this song came to me, and we sprung it on them. We didn't preach, we didn't talk, but we sang an invitation song. And humor me now as I sing a song that I haven't sung for 5 decades. It's called I Wish. I wish you could tell me how to find some peace of mind, and I wish you could teach me to be free. How I wish, I wish you could answer these questions deep inside. I wish you could tell me about me. I wish there was someone who really cared. Cause I'm lonely and I'm empty and I have so many fears. I say I'm happy, but I'm really just running scared. Well, I heard about this man Jesus. People laugh, they call him names, but this Jesus, he said that he loved me, and those people cannot say the same. Oh, I wish I could know him. I would like to follow him. Yes, I wish he could take away all my sins. Maybe one day when I have time, I will throw away all this pride. Maybe one day I will ask this Jesus in. Lord, I hear you calling, now I'm coming home to you. It's been a long time. Now I'm coming home to you. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for all the times I've turned you away. This time, Lord, I'm coming home to stay. When we finished that song at that high school assembly, we stuck our neck out and sort of bent the rules. But I just had to ask how many would like to give their lives to Jesus, and practically the whole assembly stood up. And you've listened to this show maybe from week to week, and you've listened today. I just want you to know that the purpose of this show, the purpose of all that I do on here, is to point the way to Jesus, to point the way to the foot of the cross. And maybe you've heard this and you've been moved and you're thinking about your own life. I want you to know that Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you will open up, I will come into you and we will fellowship together. We will dine together. And I just want to tell you that right now, sitting by your laptop or your cell phone, you can have Jesus come into your life. And I want to just pray for you right now that you will do this. If you want to start following Jesus, make this a start. I want you to pray this prayer with me as I pray it. Lord Jesus, I need you today. I want you to be real in my life. I believe in you. And I believe you are the answer for my life. So I come to you with all of my sins, with all of my weaknesses, and I ask you to forgive me. With your help, I'm turning away from sin and I'm turning to you. And I want to have a relationship with you and walk with you for the rest of my life. I thank you that your word says that if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creature. All the old has passed away and everything is new. So I embrace you. I tell you I love you. And I thank you for your grace and your love and your kindness to me. As of right now, I'm following you from here on out. Thank you for hearing me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to us today. No matter what's going on in your life, I want you to always remember there is an anchor and it holds. God bless.
I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have as I face the raging. agencies, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. And I've had dreams. I even held them in my hand. But I never knew they would slip. Storm.